Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 21st on the West Coast, or summer solstice, and June the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com on the Internet. Well, before we bring tonight's guest on board, and we're going to be talking about some very interesting topics that have been kept from the mainstream media, as we usually do, I'm going to actually visit for a moment the mindset of what I consider to be the average American. And I'm going to give you a few examples of some quiz shows from television, and some anecdotal events that occurred over time. And if I have a couple of extra moments, I'd also like to share a little bit of information about some of our members of Congress. I think you'll find this enlightening. When you look at what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico, or what's not going on in the Gulf of Mexico, often it helps to have clues as to how people think, and I'm going to give you some examples, and you be the judge. New York resident Kathy Evans brought humiliation to her friends and family when she set a new standard for stupidity with her appearance on the popular TV show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Evans, a 32-year-old wife and mother of two, got stuck on the first question and proceeded to make what fans of the show were dubbing the absolute worst use of lifelines ever. After being introduced to the show's host, Meredith Vieira, Evans was posed with a typically easy initial $100 question. The question was, which of the following is the largest? A, a peanut. B, an elephant. C, the moon. D, hey, who you calling large? Immediately, Mrs. Evans was struck with an all-consuming panic as she did not readily know the answer. Oh boy, that's a toughie, said Evans as Vieira did her level best to hide her disbelief. I mean, I'm sure I've heard of some of these things before, but I have no idea how large they would be. Evans made the decision to use the first of her three lifelines, the 50-50. Answers A and D were removed, leaving her to decide which was bigger, an elephant or the moon. However, faced with an incredibly easy question, Evans still remained unsure. Oh, it removed the two I was leaning towards, exclaimed Evans. Darn, I think I better phone a friend. Mrs. Evans asked to be connected with her friend Betsy, who is an office assistant. Hi, Betsy. How are you? This is Kathy. I'm on TV, said Evans, wasting the first 7 seconds of her call. Okay, I got an important question. Which of the following is the largest? B, an elephant, or C, the moon? 15 seconds, hun. Betsy quickly replied that the answer was C, the moon. Evans proceeded to argue with her friend for the remaining 10 seconds. Betsy, are you sure? Said Evans. How sure are you? Duh, that can't be it. To everyone's astonishment, the moronic Evans declined to take her friend's advice. I just don't know if I can trust Betsy. She's not all that bright. So I think I'd like to ask the audience, said Evans. Asked to vote on the correct answer, the audience returned 98% in favor of answer C, the moon. Having used up all her lifelines, Evans then made the dumbest choice of her life. Wow, seems like everybody is against what I'm thinking, said the too stupid to live Evans. But you know, sometimes you just gotta go with your gut. So let's see. I'm going to have to go with B, an elephant. Final answer. Evan sat before the dumbfounded audience, the only one waiting with bated breath, and was told that she was wrong and that the answer was, in fact, C, the moon. Caution. They walk among us. Now, here's another question that was posed to another contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Name is not given. The question was, what is George W. Bush's first name? A, Peter, B, Edmund, C, Torben, and D, George. The answer selected after using the 50-50, Edmund. They walk among us. Now, I'm going to jump to Congress. Believe me, if I read all of these to you, you would get a general feeling that people all over this country are of the same mindset. This is entitled Dumb as a Box of Rocks. I'm just reading this, folks. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. A very good example of the kind of representation we have in Congress. And this is a true story. A noted psychiatrist was a guest speaker at an academic function where Nancy Pelosi happened to appear. Ms. Pelosi took the opportunity to schmooze the good doctor a bit and asked him a question with which he was most at ease. Would you mind telling me, doctor, she asked, how you detect a mental deficiency in somebody who appears completely normal? Nothing is easier, he replied. You ask a simple question which anyone should answer with no trouble. If the person hesitates, that puts you on the track. What sort of question? Asked Pelosi. Well, you might ask, Captain Cook made 3 trips around the world and died during one of them. Which one? Pelosi thought a moment and then said with a nervous laugh, You wouldn't happen to have another example, would you? I must confess, I don't know much about history. Now, if you think that that is an exaggeration, wait till you hear a couple of these accounts here. This comes from a D.C. airport ticket agent who offered some examples of why our country is in the trouble that it's in. Number one, these are quotes from the agent. I had a New Hampshire congresswoman, Carol Shea Porter, ask for an aisle seat so that her hair wouldn't get messed up by being near the window. Of course, that's on an airplane. Two, I got a call from a Kansas congressman's staffer, Howard Bowlecki, and he is the staffer for Congressman Moore, who wanted to go to Cape Town. I started to explain the length of the flight and the passport information, and then he interrupted me with, I'm not trying to make you look stupid, but Cape Town is in Massachusetts. Without trying to make him look stupid, I calmly explained, Cape Cod is in Massachusetts. Cape Town is in Africa, technically South Africa. His response, click. Three, a senior Vermont congressman, Bernie Sanders, called furious about a Florida package we did. I asked what was wrong with the vacation in Orlando. He said he was expecting an ocean view room. I tried to explain that's not possible since Orlando is in the middle of the state. He replied, don't lie to me. I looked on the map and Florida is a very thin state. Four, I got a call from a lawmaker's wife, Landra Reed, who asked, is it possible to see England from Canada? I said, no. She said, but they look so close on the map. Five, an aide for a cabinet member, Janet Napolitano, once called and asked if he could rent a car in Dallas. I pulled up the reservation and noticed he had only a 1-hour layover in Dallas. When I asked him why he wanted to rent a car, he said, I heard Dallas was a big airport, and we will need a car to drive between gates to save time. Six, an Illinois congresswoman, Jan Schakowsky, called last week. She needed to know how it was possible that her flight from Detroit left at 8:30 a.m. and got to Chicago at 8:33 a.m. I explained that Michigan was an hour ahead of Illinois, but she couldn't understand the concept of time zones. Finally, I told her the plane went fast, and she bought that. 7. A New York lawmaker, Gerald Nadler, called and asked, "Do airlines put your physical description on your bag so they know whose luggage belongs to whom?" I said, "No, why do you ask?" He replied, "Well, when I checked in with the airline, they put a tag on my luggage that said fat, and I'm overweight. I think that's very rude." After putting him on hold for a minute while I looked into it, and I was dying laughing, I came back and explained the city code for Fresno, California is FAT, Fresno Air Terminal, and the airline was just putting a destination tag on his luggage. 8. A Senator John Kerry aide, Lindsey Ross, called to inquire about a trip package to Hawaii. After going over all the cost info, she asked, "Would it be cheaper to fly to California and then take the train to Hawaii?" 9. I just got off the phone with a freshman congressman, Bobby Bright, Democrat from Alabama, who asked, "How do I know which plane to get on?" I asked him what he exactly meant, to which he replied, "I was told my flight number is 823, but none of these planes have numbers on them." 10. Senator Dianne Feinstein called and said, "I need to fly to Pepsi-Cola, Florida. Do I have to get on one of those little computer planes?" I asked if she meant fly to Pensacola, Florida on a commuter plane. She said, "Yeah, whatever, smarty." 11. Mary Landrieu, a Democrat from Louisiana, senator, called and had a question about the documents she needed in order to fly to China. After a lengthy discussion about passports, I reminded her that she needed a visa. "Oh, no, I don't. I've been to China many times, and I never had to have one of those." I double-checked, and sure enough, her stay required a visa. When I told her this, she said, "Look, I've been to China 4 times, and every time they have accepted my American Express." 12. A New Jersey congressman, John Adler, called to make reservations. "I want to go from Chicago to Rhino, New York." I was at a loss for words. Finally, I said, Are you sure that's the name of the town?" "Yes, what flights do you have?" replied the man. After some searching, I came back with, "I'm sorry, sir, I've looked up every airport code in the country and can't find a Rhino anywhere." The man retorted, "Oh, don't be silly. Everyone knows where it is. Check your map." So I scoured a map of the state of New York and finally offered, "You don't mean Buffalo, do you?" The reply, "Whatever, I knew it was a big animal." Now you know why the government is in the shape that it's in. Could anyone be this dumb? Yes, they walk among us, they're in politics, and they continue to breed. And again, I didn't write this, I just read it to you. With that now, and this is for the edification of tonight's guests, I'm going to give you a live demonstration of a similar conversation. It's a bit longer, and it features Democratic congressman from the state of Georgia, Hank Johnson. This was a couple of months ago, and he was posing some questions to an admiral from the U.S. Navy regarding the relocation, we'll say, of 8,000 Marines and allegedly their 17,000 dependents.
Now, this is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think
Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things. And I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, you know, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance to Pacific Command, Guam is vital to this decision.
Well, there you have it. We have this is what rules the world today in Washington, D.C., this kind of mentality. With that, we're going to shift gears for for the rest of the show and bring on someone who has quite a bit higher IQ than some of the people we've been talking about this evening. He hosts his own talk show on the Micro Effect Network, and the show is called The Story Behind the Story. He is a PhD and is also an author and a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, especially on Monday nights, my good friend, Dr. A. Tuat. Dr. Ott, good evening.
Good Lord. How much does that guy get paid?
These guys just got a big hefty raise, too.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that. What was that, a Marine, or who was he talking to there, the Navy man?
He was talking to an admiral from the Navy.
How did the admiral even keep a straight face? I'll say, you idiot.
The people behind him were smirking and giggling. You could see them. And he was putting his hand on his face, and, you know, I'm sure he was restraining himself as much as he could. But it didn't matter. That could have been on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know.
Who elected this guy, and who keeps him in? I mean, it must be a borough of some sort.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, yeah, with what is going on, you know, I did 2 hours with Drew Raines today, and we were talking about the non-response and the cover-up and solutions to this Gulf oil crisis, and I thought, this evening, you know, it might behoove people to listen a little bit to what the educational system has done to the population, and Congress is not exempt. They're not exempt from that. It's appalling, and you wonder why nothing is getting done.
Well, yeah, I can see the idiot thinking that Moon was not as big as an elephant, because that means she could probably see a half moon when the elephant bends over.
Well, she was concerned about the peanut too. You know, so, remember, she was leaning towards those two answers.
I sent that on to a lot of people, that very thing, and I just have to believe that nobody could be that stupid. I mean, she had to do it just as a joke to get some publicity, I would think. I can't imagine that.
It was dead serious. It was on TV. What do you expect?
Oh, my heavens. Well, yeah, you're on TV. You just have, it's just like that, the Fox crazy show, what's it called, American Idol,
mm-hmm.
where you have these people, you know, just doing the most ridiculous things just to get some airtime. You know, I kind of wonder if that wasn't a setup, but you never know. I mean, nobody could be that dumb rock stupid.
Well, let's say everything was a setup except that last clip I played.
Yeah.
that was a congressional hearing about redeploying 8,000 Marines.
Unbelievable. Tip over the island, it just would tip over and capsize.
Yeah.
Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, it's no wonder that nothing happens at the Gulf and nothing happens but problems.
Well, you got a president that's playing golf during this catastrophe, and you've got the CEO of BP sailing his yacht around the Isle of Wight, or I should say Wight.
Yeah.
It's Wight. The Isle, well, he was sailing his yacht, we'll put it that way. No concern, no conscience, no responsibility whatsoever for what's going on in the world, other than dictating orders to people. You know, to total strangers on top of it.
Yeah, and then of course we know all of the requests for help that came right, you know, in the first part of May. What gets me is, you know, the Netherlands had a huge flotilla ready to help. Other nations understand the importance of getting this thing, you know, under control. And it was just rejected. Now there's just no excuse for that at all. Flat out, not you know, other than this was planned, and it's all part of an occult hidden agenda. And I think that's exactly what's going on more and more.
I guarantee you, if you or I or any of the listeners were to go to the Gulf of Mexico and take a quart of motor oil and pierce a hole in the top of it and pour it out into the water, you'd get arrested for pollution and for littering and any other crazy thing they could dream up. And you've got millions of gallons a day flowing into the Gulf because of negligence and or something else that is taboo to talk about.
Yeah, just about, oh golly, it was last fall here in my hometown. There was a fellow that was arrested and fined, I don't know how much, and served some jail time. And it was 6 months in jail because he would, they traced it back that he was taking his oil from his car after he was, it wasn't recycling, it was putting down his shop drain into the septic or the sewer system, and they, you know, found out basically who was doing it and brought him on charges, shut him down, and just amazing. So yeah, you know, that's what, 6 quarts of oil from his truck going into the drain.
Mm-hmm. And that was in where, like Salt Lake City, somewhere around Salt Lake.
Yeah, in Ogden, Utah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. If you were to do that in the Gulf of Mexico, I suppose you could get away with it, right? Park your truck right there in the middle of the water.
Yeah, just go start dumping like everybody, you know, like BP does.
Of course, I'm following Miss Evans' line of thinking there in parking your car right there in the middle of the Gulf. I suppose she was probably confused because she wasn't sure if the peanut had been shelled or it was still in its original shell.
Like I said, everybody that knows sometimes part of the year and the new moon, there's no moon at all, so an elephant's got to be bigger than that, but even bigger than a peanut.
Oh, my goodness.
It's late, and here it is, the summer solstice, and like I said, this is a pretty serious topic. You know, we need to laugh a little bit, too. There's so much going on tonight. Don't know how much you want to dig into this or not, but there's some codes that apparently are right there in front of us. At least in front of me, that they were able to kind of get a handle on, so-called Operation Swift Fox, and when the dates of deployment. I sent a paper out, and in fact, this paper is posted on my website. It's atrueott, that's TRUEOTT.com. You just go to Breaking News and click on the very first posting there on, it's called Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. Kali, as the listeners may or may not know, is the Hindu goddess of the earth, the mother goddess. Okay, very powerful in witchcraft, etc. And in the early days of India, the prehistory days, the legend says that there was the earth spirit Kali Yuga would be in the very dark times. That's what is referred to, the dark times. And I just happened to do some research just today and found out that this could well be implemented any time between tonight and the 26th of June.
You're speaking about a Kabbalistic ritual.
Yeah, basically a false flag attack of the highest order leading to World War. The information of, there's an astrology website that this woman is this astrologist to the stars and to the elite, posted this back in 2008, Don, and, she basically outlines what's going to happen now in 2010. She wrote this in 2008. And let me just read, quote what she said, that there would be something called a Grand Cross. She writes, quote, "There will be a series of Grand Crosses in the summer of 2010. One of which occurs a few days after the solstice, which of course is tonight, June 21st, 2010, with seven planets participating, the Earth and six others." And then she goes on to kind of tell technically what the astrologists will understand. I'm not an astrologist, I'm a Christian. I don't believe for one minute that what happens in the sky dictates what happens here on Earth. Whether I believe it or follow it doesn't matter. The fact is that these Satanists and or Freemasons or whoever you want to call them, they very much believe that, and they are, for better or for worse, the ones in charge of the so-called Illuminati that runs the world right now. I mean, that's just the way it is. So we see her writing that there's what she calls a moon-Pluto conjunction. A moon-Pluto conjunction on April 20th would provide what she calls the grace note. Now, we're talking also about an astrological event that other websites referred to also as being, quote, a time of great ecological upheaval and disaster on Earth, for the Earth. Well, of course, that's the date in which I personally believe this false flag event was done as a sophisticated attack from with a space-based weapon, for heaven's sakes. Now, the story gets quite amazing. As you know, I've talked to you quite a bit before the show. Last week, Wednesday night, there was a fatal shooting at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. I have no way to prove this 100%, but I personally believe from talking with a few insiders that this had to do with the deployment of the space-based weapon. Now, I've also written a paper. It's entitled Miracle. That's M-I-R-A-C-L without the E. It's an acronym for a chemical laser that's based on satellite and or deployed on the Earth that has the capabilities of precise, almost a nuclear type of destruction when focused for any amount of time over 10 seconds. One of the things that the that this miracle chemical weapon apparently does, Don, is produces a form of electromagnetic pulse, or EMP. Now, the big mystery that nobody seems to want to be discussing in our hallowed halls of Congress with our esteemed, wise, high IQ congresswomen and men is what the survivors of the Deepwater Horizon are constantly trying to get out. That is that before any explosion, there was the loss of electrical power on the rig. Now, again, we're talking about a brand, fairly new drilling rig with all the amenities of a small city. You have a discotheque, a lounge, living quarters, laundromat, restaurants, movie theater. This is not something that is a problem living in. You know, this is as upscale as any, you know, major cruise ship would be. Now, I discussed this on Drew Malone Raines' program for the last 2 weeks, for a little bit as well. And Drew, being in his profession, he understands the importance of keeping the power supply on, you know, these generators secure. It's just like a cruise ship. That's in the central core of safety on any cruise line, dating back to the Titanic. You lose those generators, and you know nobody can do well in the dark. So they're since the early 1900s, these are heavily shielded with waterproofing and some reports that as much as 8 inches of sheathing. Basically, it would take almost a nuclear explosion to take them out. They're designed to withstand hurricane force winds and even designed to withstand an explosion. If you have an emergency situation, you must have electricity powered by, you know, to power the safety equipment. So that's the first item to protect, is that generator, that generating system. So again, this is what was implied with the screaming of questions. First on the list was, why did the electrical power go out before the explosion, not vice versa?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's logic 101, where these brain dead people don't seem to be wanting to get. This is why I've followed up with looking for possible explanations to explain why the electrical power went out. Well, the only thing that makes sense to me is this miracle chemical. It's called the miracle, but it's a chemical laser made of deuterium / fluoride.
Now, the power going out, for the listeners out there that may not understand exactly the consequences of the power going out, basically all the safeguards, which are there, shut-off valves and what have you, could not work if they're not receiving power to keep all the systems running. So, in essence, all the systems were down.
Mm-hmm. So nothing worked, and the fire went out of control. You have sprinklers, systems, everything set to stop, you know, this thing from getting out of hand. Again, 8 to 10 inches of sheathing, both metal and heavy-duty rubbers, to shield these generators, and it's in the central core of the platform with security access. You can't just get in there and sabotage it. There had to be some kind of electromagnetic pulse that knocked that out to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And really the only thing that makes sense from everything is a weapon of being deployed. Now, in my paper called Miracle Illumination, I actually share links to this research. This CNN in 1997 had reported on an Air Force display of how this worked. It's there. You can read it. And once you do, you realize this thing is tremendously powerful, but why have a demonstration in 1997 and yet where has this ever been deployed and used, and for what purpose? Why deploy something in a satellite system if it's never been used? Now, going back to MacDill Air Force Base, if this secret Star Wars weapon, so to speak, had actually been deployed in the Gulf, there would be records in the computer banks there at MacDill. MacDill is the central command center for the Air Force. They basically wage the war and satellite surveillance of all of the goings on in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places such as the border of Iraq getting ready to invade Iran. So if my theory holds true, then there should be a record in MacDill. I understand there was an inquiry made. They verified that there was a deployment and there was an FBI investigation subsequent on the same day, and she ended in the death, shooting death of a 61-year-old serviceman. Now, the mainstream media down in Tampa just, you know, reported on it that it was not a terrorist act, that the serviceman was absent without leave and was deranged. That was the cover story, Don, but what is an FBI agent doing there on base, armed and shooting to kill another serviceman?
Yeah, I read an account of the story that was claiming there was an armed couple was using false identification, trying to sneak onto the base. So that gives the FBI, well, you ask yourself, well, what's an FBI agent doing there on the base at all?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there should be an internal criminal investigation division or JAG office. If there was problems, what's an FBI agent doing there and shooting and killing a serviceman? These are all questions that nobody's asking for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think the base usually has a CID anyway, don't they? Who's really responsible for taking charge of those situations?
I would think so. I'm not not tied to the military, and I don't think I want to be at this point. But then the following day, on Thursday, I did receive a visit. Now, here in northern Utah, just about 20 miles from my home here, is a major Air Force base called Hill Air Force Base, with a lot of top security clearance personnel. And I was visited for about a 10-minute interview with two gentlemen who claimed to be Air Force special investigators, and asked me questions on my sources. I said, well, with all due respect, I get my sources from intuition more than anything, and then I follow through with what's publicly available. And then I was lectured on responsible journalism and reporting things, but making sure I don't do anything that's to jeopardize this nation's safety. Now, whatever that means. Well, the media blackout of all of this going on in the Gulf is what stems from this, again, Operation Swift Fox. I firmly believe, because of what I received on an email, is the renamed code for Operation Blackjack. Now, Operation Blackjack was last year, I guess, was leaked to the press by the London Telegraph, and the London Telegraph has a website that you can actually go on, and they have a series of slides that they show this Operation Blackjack, but they claim it's just, you know, it's a fiction based projection. Well, I was intrigued with that and spent 2 hours today going through it. Their each of their slides, their artwork, so to speak, and one in particular hit me that was stood out because it had a replica of the North American Union and the new identification card. Union of North America is called UNA, Department of Homeland Security and Oversight. And the slide is number one. All purchases, business, and financial transactions across the Union of North America must now be supported by presentation of your UNA biometric identification card. UNA oversight has the authority to close businesses that fail to demand sight of the card from all clients and customers. Citizens who fail to carry their card and present it upon demand could face unlimited jail terms. Well, you look at the card, and it has a little barcode on the bottom. It has the picture ID, and it has, looks like it's got some microchip embedded on the right hand or the left hand side of the card facing. But right by the microchip, there's five pentagram yellow stars floating, and then you have a series, two lines of what looks like gibberish letters. Well, when I saw that, it was strange because on Wednesday night late, I received a fax, or not a fax, an email. It was called something called a pingback email that came to my personal email via my atruat.com website. And all that this strange little email had was the words above top secret, : Operation Swift Fox to commence. And then below that, a strange string of letters and numbers. And I thought, what in the world is this about? It makes no sense at all. I don't know. Tried to find out who sent it and return it. And so to do that on the website, I cut the message and copied it onto an MS Word document, and then went back to try and find out who sent this and see why it was I thought it was truncated or just encrypted wrong to get this gibberish of mishmash of letters and numbers. And then it was gone. It was no longer on my inbox. It was just like it had been removed. I thought perhaps that I had maybe deleted it by accident. Well, I had it on the MS Word document, and so I put it into, save mode. And then this was early Thursday morning, and then I went back to my office and found out that my computer couldn't access my email account. Just wouldn't bring it up at all. My laptop computer the same. Also my cell phone, I wasn't receiving any calls. I would somebody had tried to call me and they came in to see me and there was no way I was receiving any calls, so I could call out on my cell phone. I have an Apple iPhone with AT&T and it just wasn't working, so I thought it was strange. I needed to have my cell phone working. I went to the Apple store in downtown Salt Lake and they had to replace some kind of circuitry inside of it. It had somehow just gone defective. Well, when pondering about all this over the weekend, I got to tell you, I had a dream last night where in my dream I was more or less eavesdropping to what appeared to be a roundtable discussion of some of the high Illuminati figures. I knew it was some dark individuals there. I believe it was a number of them were British. They were talking in a British accent. There were, of course, Americans present as well. In my dream, I did not see any faces or see them. I was just outside of the room or listening in. I could hear very clearly how they were talking about something called Operation Blackjack, and that journalists at the Telegraph had basically cracked the code, and so they had to change the name of it to an Operation Swift Fox. Well, I had never, before this dream, ever really heard about Operation Blackjack. So today, as I got some spare time, I went on and Googled up Operation Blackjack in the London Telegraph and was just stunned to find it was real. In fact, the Telegraph had put this, like I just told you, the series of slides on. And seeing that slide with the ID card, it looked like a binary code of some kind, perhaps. And so on a hunch, I just did a search on binary codes, going through the list of that on that came up on the search engine, found reference to a hexadecimal code system, and found in Wikipedia's listing, this is used quite extensively by computer programmers and others in high security levels of this government to basically send coded messages out. So I pulled up this, I typed in the numbers on this card that's listed there on the Telegraph, and lo and behold, there's a There's even a website. I show that. It's you can actually put in a hexadecimal string, and it will interpret it into the words, into English words. And so it, the Telegraph, London Telegraph website, the artwork comes out with the secret message. This is not simply entertainment. This is again on the card that's there, the supposedly fictional card. It says the gibberish translates into this is not simply entertainment. I was just stunned. It really is something. Then I went back to that mysterious email that I received and cut and pasted the stream in, and I received this quote. It came out, target dates 6/21/2010 solstice, 6/26/2010 grand cross, with a grand cross in capital letters. Amazing that this hexadecimal string will even tell the computer to capitalize something. I was shocked. I was just speechless. I thought, my goodness, somebody sent me something on a ping back that disappeared, but it gave me a message.
Yes, now, just for your information, Dr. Ott, a ping is a packet internet gopher, which is, I had mentioned this when we talked about this earlier. It's a utility which is used to query another computer on a TCP IP network in order to determine whether there's a connection to it. So you started experiencing problems with your communications equipment after that ping was sent to you.
Yeah, well, that's lingo on computers. I know just enough to be a little bit efficient. I can do my work on the computer, but all this stuff about ping in and ping back. Well, all I know is that I thought it was strange that I couldn't find out who sent this or where it came from. It was just like evaporated. Talking to some of my computer experts, they said that's MO for people that don't want to be traced.
Mm-hmm.
But so somewhere, somehow, somebody sent me a above top secret message concerning Operation Swift Sword. I'm sorry, Operation Swift Fox to commence sometime between tonight and the Grand Cross. Well, then you compare also symbology of the astrology. Other websites talk about the one in particular talks about the June 26, 2010 lunar eclipse. Says these are all, they explain out the Grand Cross, how it represents the four cardinal points, as well as earth, fire, water, and air. The four components are all represented. That's the forms the eight points of the Grand Cross. And it says, quote, this will be a very important event for better or for worse, with a huge impact on global events. Wow. So we see also that the term the Grand Cross is also synonymous with the Nazi Gestapo's, cross called the swastika. Another term for the swastika in German is literally the Grand Cross that's twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so,
you had referred previously to the Moon-Pluto conjunction on April 20th, which is also Hitler's birthday.
Yep, Hitler's birthday. Where the again, everything that these Illuminists, these Satanists do, they their leaders all have their life astrology charts done. Refer you to the work the fascination Hitler had with Madame Blavatsky and a theosophical satanic organization that did star charts. So the conjunction, Moon-Pluto conjunction, April 20th of 2010, correlates with other sacred events, as they call it, of April 20th. The swastika, the Grand Cross, tying it into Hitler's birthday, and of course how he adopted the swastika and other Ashkenazis did. It's just, there's no way this is all coincidence. There's no way.
And the swastika is the reverse image of what is also known in metaphysics as the Wheel of Life, or the Wheel of Fortune, some call it. And the spokes turn in the opposite direction. So this is all done intentionally. This symbology is intended to be the opposite of how it what it represents in terms of the creation. And that symbol, though it was used by the Hindus, they used it in the reverse. I want to point that out to you, that it wasn't used for evil purposes. It was the adaptation by the Nazis that it became evil.
Well, I'm just praying, and literally I'm praying heavily and hard that we get divine intervention here to stop this, because it would appear that a number of American cities will be attacked in a very heinous way. I believe there'll be six cities, because a hex, again, hex is Greek for six. All of this will combine. There's six ties of the planets in this Grand Cross. Oh, it's Saturn and Jupiter ruling. Saturn in the Greek lexicon is where we get the term Satan, Saturn. The ring of Saturn and the structure in the occultic astrology represents the fallen angel. So there we have it. It's the Grand Cross will rule in their lexicon. They believe that Satan will have complete power for 13 weeks. And it culminates until the year 2012 with other Grand Crosses, which are, again, they're marching orders. They won't do anything until, the stars are aligned. Okay, this goes back to the worship of this false god, Baal, this fallen angel, back in the days of King Solomon. The seal of Solomon is known as the hexagram, and that is, again, the same symbol used by Israel in their flag and their symbol of their state. It's a hexagram, for heaven's sakes. Hex equals six in the Greek language.
Yes. Okay. Now, when you take the date April 20th, 2010, April being the fourth month, added to the number 20 is a 24. 2 + 4 = 6, and the 2010 makes a 3, or 6 × 3, or 3 × 6, 666. Those numbers are hidden in the date.
Yeah, and that's funny that you should say that. You go back into that movie with Nicolas Cage, the movie Knowing. Did you see that?
Yes.
there's a section there when he's trying to decipher those the list of numbers he has, right? That are all in a binary code, right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All those numbers as the clock is striking midnight, the TV comes on with the Gulf disaster of the burning oil rig in the Gulf. And he looks down, and the part of the code that striking midnight at that time where the news forecast is talking about the out of control fire on the deep water rig in the Gulf, the camera pans to the list that he's looking at, and it's 666 is highlighted.
Yeah, they put this in movies all the time, don't they? These false flag events.
That is completely bizarre to have that there.
Well,
yeah. Just again, all the evidence again points to the shorting of the Transocean stocks, the divestiture of the stock by Hayward himself, as well as BP executives, Goldman Sachs, Sutherland, all of these people tied to BP and Goldman Sachs, well beforehand, they knew this was planned in the date and time. Unbelievable how they had the depths of depravity.
Now, the anomaly of the chemical ray that you described in your paper, Miracle Illumination, and then we have those that come out and say, well, there's an anomaly of a camera. When do you see anyone that uses a video camera, when do you see colored bars coming down over an oil rig that's on fire? And as the camera's moving, the bars stay still, or the beams. I'm calling them bars because they have the appearance of bars. Cameras don't do that. They don't do that at night. They don't do that. It's just, you know, and then the attack on the videos being stripped from your website and some other websites as well.
It's bizarre. There's no doubt about it. We hit a nerve with this one, and just this cryptic email that came to me, and been able to, you know, just to figure it out. I guess it's luck or divinity. I don't know, but the event will happen tonight, right now. Something to kick it off. And like I said on my show tonight with Doug Millar and John DeCamp, worldwide conservative estimate of the number of children and infants, if not babies, sacrificed on the night of the summer solstice is well over 1,000 at least. It's a night of bloodshed and ritual. And my heart just goes out knowing that this one is a focus point for this huge grand circle of the swastika being manifest on Saturday night. So sometime between now and Saturday night, if this cryptic message is accurate, expect a huge, huge world-changing event to happen.
Now, we're not trying to create fear here, but we are drawing attention to the fact that the numbers work out. These anomalies that are just occurring to you seem to be running a parallel course to the events that led up to this catastrophe in the Gulf and the manner in which it's being covered up. They don't want reporters there. They don't want the truth being brought out. And you've been bringing out the truth, and they come right to you.
And more importantly, they don't want any solutions that's workable to be applied. Of course, we know the story intimately of Mike Castle, and the Mara has a very viable option, in my opinion. We have a testimony that just surfaced. I got the video yesterday. Today, there's a company that manufactures a pipe system that could easily be deployed as, you know, to keep the oil from spreading, either through their suction barges, and even, you know, the plan to send this custom pipe by remote robot to cap the well. All of these things, you know, this is a Houston-based company, Don, and it's absolutely been stonewalled. Every solution that could be tried and worked has been ignored. You know, and again, we made this statement before, on the 21st of April, when this thing started to spew oil, BP has the suction barges, the super tankers, that could capture this as soon as it hits anywhere near the first 20 foot of surface, but yet they refuse to do anything, which leads you to believe that it's by design to create an ecological disaster and a cover for the Operation Blackjack. Again, Blackjack is a game of chance and cards where the winning score is 21. Hit 21, it's Blackjack, ace, and a black ace of spades. Well, what is the date today? The 21st, Black 21, Blackjack of 2010. Take away the zeros and you have a double Blackjack.
Yeah. Now, there's also a bioremediation, we can say microbes, that will eat the oil and convert the oil into something safe and actually something that becomes part of the ecosystem. After the oil is gone, the microbes die, and things begin returning to normal. So we have Dr. Castles. In fact, I had on my show last week, on Thursday, Nan Oilco's Mark Gould, and Drew Raines had Mark on the show, along with his partner Nick Eckleberry, and Arturo Cowles, who is the microbiologist consultant to the company. And using those two products in conjunction with each other, they sort of complement each other. It's a way to prevent the destruction of the shorelines and the inland waterways, the marshes, and animals. And it's you've got a president playing golf, and the head of BP sailing his yacht over the weekend. This is how concerned they are with this. How anyone can pull themselves away from a disaster like that, that could bring a company down, if the concerns were legitimate, we'll say. They just want to see this thing play out and wreak havoc on the whole planet. This isn't just something that's going to affect the United States. It's going to affect the whole world. And the toxins, the Corexit 9500 is a neurotoxin. It attacks the central nervous system through the skin. I'm sure through the lungs. It attacks the blood. It attacks the liver, the kidneys, and may have severe repercussions down the road regarding conception and childbirth.
Well, look also what it's doing now in certain parishes there, and even into the inland, front inland Tennessee and Arkansas. Some airborne, rainborne toxin is causing crop failures and plants to be diseased. I believe it's very much the Corexit.
Yes, there are spots showing up on the leaves and vegetables and all kinds of plants, actually, not just edible plants, showing up everywhere.
Right.
So, of course, this is going to be denied, like they do denying chemtrails. They're still denying that they're spraying chemtrails. It's insane. And a few of my guests describe these people as pathological. And certainly that's an understatement. Dr. Christopher Holmes is one.
Uh-huh.
We're dealing with organized crime here. And their answer now is, as they're announcing on CNN, on the Larry King show, they've got Larry King doing a commercial asking people to give money. For what? Give money for what? They have all the money in the world already.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do?
Oh, my goodness. Symbolism over substance again. And with all due respect to our good friend Drew, you got to be careful of focusing on things that are just really doesn't it's kind of meaningless to go at this point and try to clean up something that's beyond belief, the volume. I don't know. I don't have any answers to it. I just don't. I wish I did. We all thought it would be a fairly easy fix back in the end of April, 1st of May. But this thing is just geometrically expanded. Is it by design that they realize this? Well, think about this. Some projections now, all efforts will fail as this crack widens and the brittle crust begins to crumble even more. Methane gas burst and bubble could lead to a tsunami. All these are very real possibilities that can't be denied. What if these so-called relief wells cause the problem to be even much worse? The pressure and the vast amount of oil could keep leaking for 4 full years before nature shuts it off. Think about it.
Yeah,
four full years of this. This will poison all of the Atlantic.
Yeah, true. There are at least 32 fractures, and they basically are at the end of the New Madrid Fault, which moves all the way up the Mississippi. And up to the Great Lakes region, so they are smack dab on that fault line.
Well, I think that sometime this week they'll give the order to evacuate. There'll be a lot of civil unrest when this happens. There's a lot of angry people. Drew Malone Raines is angry. He's upset. He's spent time in Louisiana. He knows and loves the country. He has every right to be angry. Fighting mad is an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear that there's many thousands of people like Drew Malone who just won't stand for this. And when that happens, I think another revolution or anarchy is going to be the result. And I think it's exactly what they want. I think it's exactly what they're banking on.
Yeah. Well, Drew was born there, grew up there. He's got family and friends there.
Sure, he does.
You can't fault him for being angry. And I'm sure if you and I had a house down there that we would be upset as well.
Well, I know. I'm upset too. I'm upset at the whole satanic ritual involvement with these people. I've been upset at them for 15 years, Don. But you can't just play into their hands and just go blindly swinging. You know, you got to have a plan, and I'm working to figure out what's the best angle. I can't talk for anybody else. I can just talk for me and those that will listen. But, you know, going in and shooting and fighting is exactly what they want, to bring in the martial law troops and do a full crackdown across this country. And I believe that's Operation Swift Fox, which was first codenamed Operation Blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what the plan is all about.
Yes. Well, Drew, give out your website again. We're out of time, but, you know, fascinating information. And
yes. www.atrueott.com. I invite you just to click on Breaking News. Read this, the story. It's called Kali Yuga, The Dark Times, Kali Yuga. And just follow it through. Thanks, Don.
My pleasure. Now, you're seeing my research model in action. You're actually experiencing it. I want to congratulate you on that. The intuition comes through, and when you go looking for the facts, they're there. You're surprised. We're all surprised, but that's how the truth comes.
And I still tell you, I look at the moon next to an elephant. Elephant's bigger all the time.
Yeah, peanuts are getting larger too, aren't they?
Yeah, that moon is made of green cheese too. Not a problem.
Well, thanks a lot. I wish you the best. Folks, tune in to themicroeffect.com Monday through Friday. The show airs. Let's see. Which time zone do you prefer giving out, Drew?
It's 7 till 9, 2 hours on Pacific time. That's 10 to 12 on the East Coast.
Okay, very good. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to tonight's special edition of Evident Footprints with our guest, Dr. Atrewat. And we also want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting the show. Over at BBS, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Thanks, guys. And we want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night. Horrible.